Welcome to our Christmas service. Let's open up. Call to worship. I'll read from Psalm 96. Hear then God's word. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and is greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Congregation, stand with me. Congregation, where does your help come from?
Our help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please take your cantus, remain standing, and turn to page 243. O Come All Ye Faithful.
Oh,
Amen.
Please remain standing.
Sir, take your service sheet, will you? And we will do a responsive reading together from Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people.
But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you.
The Gentiles shall come to you, to your light.
And the kings to the brightness of your rising.
For unto us a child is born.
Unto us a son is given.
And the government will be upon his shoulder.
And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end.
Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever.
The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Amen.
Please take your cantus once again and turn to page 230.
reading from Titus chapter 2 and from Hebrews chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord.
Let me get my program back.
For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Hebrews chapter 1, the first four verses. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's sing the song from the overhead, and there I think are sheet music that was on the back table for the song Sun.
And please stand.
Joy, gladness,
gospel reading this morning. I almost said this afternoon. Gospel reading this Christmas morning is from Matthew chapter 1. The word of God's action and God's grace. Matthew chapter 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Matan, and Matan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who was called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of grace. We thank you for revealing your Son to us. We pray that you would open our ears on this Christmas day again to hear the wonder of what you have done in Jesus. We pray that this would be a blessing to us in this day and throughout our year. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jamie has a song called Still Awake in Nazareth that kind of enters a little bit into Joseph's dilemma. And this morning I want to unpack for us a bit of what is going on in Joseph's experience here as he is confronted with a woman that he has betrothed who is pregnant. The hour has come. After long years of waiting, the moment has finally arrived for the child to be born. The Bible talks of this as the fullness of time. All those years, all those generations have come to a climax. The moment has arrived, but it is not a moment without difficulty. There are question marks. There is controversy. After all, if some young lady gets pregnant and tells you that she is a virgin, your response will be something like, yeah, right. And it was no different in the first century. I mean, although we moderns tend to look down on people from that era as being ignorant, they, like us, know how babies are named. On this passage, something very important happens. The virgin son becomes the son of David. And that biological knowledge that we have has to be, if you will, overcome. Whereas Luke's account of the birth of Christ focuses upon Mary, Matthew focuses very much, he keys very much upon Joseph and the role he must play. This is true not only in chapter 1, but also in chapter 2, and the decisions that Joseph makes in terms of fleeing to Egypt and returning and so on. This Christmas morning, we will consider Joseph's trial, Joseph's dream, and Joseph's response. The virgin son becomes the son of David. This passage begins by telling us of Joseph's trial, the difficult situation in which he has been placed in verses 18 and 19. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Mary has returned from the hill country of Judea, where we're told in Luke that she has been visiting and rejoicing with her cousin Elizabeth, who is bearing a son. Out of all unlikelihood, the barren woman in her old age. And now Mary has returned home, and this is after several months, and the child visibly weighs upon her, and so equally the difficulty of her position weighs upon her. She is betrothed, and she is pregnant, and the man she is marrying is not the father. And that's probably why we are told that Joseph is a just man, meaning he is righteous. He has lived in purity. He has not jumped the gun. And here, his young bride is pregnant. And perhaps when she returns, no doubt when she returns, she tries to tell him what this is all about. But who could believe a story like that? Now, we must understand that to be betrothed in those days was much more than engagement in our culture. Engagement in our culture, these things are agreements that are made and broken constantly. Of course, so are marriages. But that's another story. But engagements are not looked at as really anything other than a noise. not sure what that was. Is that the alarm? Well.
Oh,
somebody blew the whistle on us. Okay. Well, class begins. Engagements are made and broken with impunity. But it was not so with ancient betrothal. The two are already called husband and wife. We see that in verse 19. Her husband, Joseph, not her engaged partner or something like that, but her husband. And betrothal in the Bible times was a legally binding matter. If something happened between the partners, it entailed a divorce. It wasn't simply, well, this little agreement wasn't meant to be, and so on, like we have. And that's why we see, if we go back to the law, if one of the partners had sexual relations with somebody else, it was considered adultery. So essentially, betrothal was a state with the responsibility and the bonds of marriage, but without some of the privileges. The responsibilities were there. And that's why Joseph, it says, is thinking about putting Mary away, and the ESV renders that divorcing her, and that's exactly what that putting away language means. It's not simply breaking up, as we said, it refers to divorce. That's what's necessary to break a betrothal. Now, to marry in such a situation as Joseph is faced with would be to admit to guilt, apparently. It would be to admit that he had not waited. It was a sign of acting unrighteously. And therefore, Matthew pointedly says, Joseph is just. He is righteous. And not surprisingly, since this is not his sin and not his child, he wishes to divorce Mary. And yet he is pondering doing so with kindness in front of two or three witnesses. That's what it means privately, rather than in a public ceremony that would better vindicate him. From the beginning, you see, Christmas is upsetting. It rocks the world. It is not simply about a little baby and isn't everything all sweet and light. It's upsetting. Jesus does not come to ensure that there will be business as usual. When Christ comes, it is not to maintain the status quo. To be confronted with the Christmas child is to be challenged. And that challenge has begun already with Joseph. The virgin son becomes the son of David. Faced with his trial, this challenge, and pondering his decision, we are next told of Joseph's dream in verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Notice what the angel calls him. Joseph, son of David. And that is the hinge upon which everything turns in this passage. Because here, everything is focused regarding what is at stake with what Joseph does. In the very first verse of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew writes, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Joseph provides the legal link between David and Jesus. Joseph is the son of David. He is the heir to the throne who must pass on that heritage. We see from the Old Testament that the Messiah must be of the house of David. God had promised to David that his heirs would reign forever, and of course, it didn't look like it. So that meant that there was a further promise, and of course that had to do with the Messiah. Well, for that promise to be fulfilled then, this son of David, Joseph, must become the father of Jesus. The issue, the problem in the passage, therefore, is not simply that Mary is humiliated or embarrassed, and Joseph is going to relieve her. That's good. But what is going on here is not primarily for Mary's sake. The issue has to do with the promises of God. The Christ must be of the line of David, or he is not the Christ. And it doesn't work, by the way, even if we do suppose that Mary was of the line of David, of which it's considerably doubtful, that doesn't work. Has to come through the Father. And so God sends his angel. Now this isn't the first time that God sends an angel to announce a birth, is it? I think we're all familiar with at least some of those. Think of the angel appearing to Abraham and saying, at this time next year, your wife will bear a son. Manoah and his wife. And of course, the resulting son was Samson. And of course, the angel has already appeared here to Elizabeth and Mary to announce the birth. Well, actually, the angel appeared to Zacharias. All very important personages. When an angel appears to announce a birth, it's something big is going on. That heightens the anticipation. Someone very important is about to be born. And so that's part of the assurance that accompanies the angel's words. When the angel appears to Joseph, he is immediately placed in those other stories. And he realizes that something big is happening. But the words themselves are what is especially astonishing. This child is not the result of adultery. The conception has taken place by the power of the Holy Spirit.
just as was promised to Mary in Luke 1:35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, with the result that the Holy One that is to be born will be called the Son of God. Joseph, therefore, need not fear. He is not getting an untrustworthy wife. As hard as it is to believe, and no matter what other people will think, and they will think that, Joseph is not being shamed. He is being honored. And so the angel continues in verse 21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You shall call his name Jesus. In other words, you are to take responsibility for this child. You are to be his father, even though his father is God himself. Recess is over. Joseph takes responsibility. That's the charge. And yet his father is God. How can Joseph be a father to this child? Yet he is to follow through and wed Mary. And when he does this, this child will be his child. And your heritage will be his heritage. And this is all tied to the child's identity. You shall call his name Jesus. Jesus. That's the Greek form of the name Joshua, which means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. Hence the explanation here, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, that's perhaps a bit of a turn as far as Joseph is concerned. The Messiah was indeed expected to provide salvation, not so much salvation from sin particularly. Salvation refers to deliverance, and many people thought that the primary deliverance necessary, or shall we say, the primary deliverance that a mere Messiah could provide, would be rescue from the Romans, and perhaps, along with that, the collaborators of the Romans among the Jewish leadership. But when God promises that Israel will be liberated, he says a great many things about their sins in the Old Testament. The problem is that salvation from sins itself points pretty high. That points to the work of God himself. In fact, this clause is probably an echo of Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Salvation from sin is the work of God alone. And yet here in Matthew 1, this angel tells Joseph that this child is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In fact, the stress is on he in the original. He himself will save his people from their sins. There's no doubt left whether the angel is talking about this child accomplishing what only God can do. He is not merely God's partner or agent bringing God's salvation to his people. The salvation is his salvation. The work is his work. He truly is Jesus, Joshua, in a way that the assistant of Moses never could have been Joshua. And so now in verses 22 and 23, we come back again to Isaiah chapter 7. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And there what was implied in what the angel said is made explicit. Emmanuel, God with us. This is God. Yes, indeed, Joseph's shame has become his unfathomable glory and honor. He will lend his name and his line to the very Son of God. And what that means is that the rescue of the house of David has already begun. Joseph, living in obscurity, looking rather impoverished and weak, rather than ruling on David's throne in Jerusalem, even in the Jerusalem that then was, which was pretty powerless, Joseph is the one who really benefits from this transaction. Christ comes to rule not for himself, but for the house of David. He has come to raise his people out of the muck that sin has brought. He truly is Savior for Joseph too. Thus, although Joseph must adopt this child, the great thing is just the reverse. This child adopts Joseph. Indeed, that this child adopts all of us. The Word becomes flesh for us. The virgin son becomes the son of David. Joseph has now been told what is going on and what he must do. So what is Joseph's response? We often speak of the necessity of Mary's submission to the Lord in bearing this child. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. That's true. That was necessary. Every generation rightly calls her blessed. But as seen, Joseph's submission is equally important. This child cannot be the Messiah unless Joseph marries Mary and gives legal title to the Davidic kingship to her firstborn son. And so we read in verses 24 and 25, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And so it is that Jesus becomes the son of David. He is the heir to the throne, and he is the only one qualified and able to rule upon it forever, as God promised. And that is why we can still celebrate Christmas 2,000 years later. It isn't simply an event in the distant past whose effects are long since gone. For the Son of David still reigns. He reigns forever. And the Son of David has saved us from our sins. And brothers and sisters, on this day in which we go to our houses and have a good time, celebrate the good gifts of God, let us not forget the occasion and the source of our joy. This child came to rescue us from our sins. No matter what our circumstances may be, we know this. The Son of David reigns, and this is news of great joy because he has adopted us. He has become flesh for us. Amen. In response, let us pray in unison. You'll find the words to the prayer in your bulletin. We'll stand to pray. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given your only begotten Son to take our nature upon him and to be born of a pure virgin. Grant that we, who have been born again and made your children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the same Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And now let's remain standing and sing from the Cantus, page 300, Fairest Lord Jesus.
King of creation, Son.
240, Joy to the World, but first receive God's blessing. May the God of grace fill you with all the joy and peace in believing. Amen. Number 240, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare His room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth.